We're all sinners. We've all fallen short. We all have that same problem. We're disconnected from God because of sin.
Though sin separates us from the love of the Lord, Pastor Brett Metter assures man's greatest need is God's greatest deed.
But good news. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He, that is the Lord, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is what the Lord does.
He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. An assuring promise of Jesus having power over life and death, to be sure. And in a world fearing mortality, in God we can trust in hope and victory. Coming up, a message of good news indeed delivered by Pastor Brett Metter on Today's Word. And we're glad you can be with us for this special program as we're about to listen to highlights from the PDX Crusade held in August of 2025 in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Brett has joined me. Brett, let me ask you, when you went on the stage and you saw over 15,000 in attendance there at the Moda Center, what were you thinking at that point?
Well, fortunately, the first night was where I was just trying to gather my thoughts and think, oh boy, you know, whatever you do, don't trip on your way out. But the second night, you know, it was more familiar. And the fact that that was the most packed one, I think it just filled my heart with joy. I know that a lot of people went to great lengths to invite their unsaved friends. And so I knew I had a lot of friendly people from churches around the Portland area. They're just ready to shine the light of Christ. But also, I felt this large responsibility to, as carefully as I could, present the good news of the gospel. And so I think it was, for me, a very sobering moment, a sense of responsibility, but also with great joy, knowing that we all had such great hopes that people would come to Christ.
Absolutely. Brett, I know one of the reasons you and Athey Creek Church chose to plan this evangelistic crusade in the Portland, Oregon area was that you were hoping to be a catalyst for change in a city where there's a lot of darkness and hopelessness. What things did you see at this PDX crusade?
We saw, you know, the Lord just come through in such a powerful way. You know, John chapter 1, verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And sometimes in Portland, we feel like, wow, the darkness is a little bit oppressive. And, you know, are we even going to make a dent, you know, here in Portland? But I think with this crusade, we actually have seen that promise of John 1, 5 come to pass. The light switch was turned on, and that was our objective, is just shine the light of Christ in our city. And it really has caused this ripple effect from the very first night all the way to this present day. We're seeing how the light outshines the darkness, and it's such an encouragement to us.
That is really great to hear, Brett. Well, now with the second part of the Sunday night PDX Crusade at the Moda Center in Portland, Oregon, here again is Pastor Brett Metter.
If you want to know who God is, you look no further than Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God in the flesh. So who is God as revealed by Jesus? Well, when you look to the life of Jesus, Jesus fills in all those blanks. In fact, seven statements that Jesus gave, the first one that Jesus iterated there was in John chapter 6. There in verse 35, it says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. I love the simplicity of Jesus' declaration. I am the bread of life. We all know what bread is. It's very simple. Bread, the sustenance of life, food and nourishment. Do you understand humanity is starving right now? Do you realize people want to be satisfied? People want to have that hunger in their heart. But Jesus says, don't you understand? If you eat the bread that I give you, you'll not be hungry anymore. There's a spiritual bread. People don't understand. Man's need for filling is satisfied through Jesus, the bread of life. We think we're hungry for delight, pleasure. We think those affections from our friends or our relationships that we have, or we feel like if we could just feed maybe with an addiction, maybe eventually we'll reach that satisfaction. But if you've been alive long enough, you know those things won't fill you. You'll still be hungry. In fact, when you feed your soul full of those worldly things, it only makes you hungrier. You get a craving for more, but it doesn't ever satisfy. The second I am statement that Jesus made was this. John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again to them and said unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Jesus also said this in John chapter 12, verse 46. "I have come into the world as light, so that whosoever believes in me will not remain in darkness." So the second declaration that Jesus made was not only, number one, I'm the bread of life, number one. Number two, I am the light of the world. Are you tired of living in darkness? You know, it's something your eyes start to get used to it. You start thinking, oh, I'm used to the darkness. But then when you see the true light of life, which is Jesus, oh, how the light is so beautiful. Maybe some of you sense something in this room that's rich and something that's important. That's the light of Jesus Christ, and he's here in this place right now. You know, it's interesting because, again, people look to false light. Did you know there's such thing as a false light? And it's meant to lure you from the true light. Some people, that next drink, oh, that's the light that I need. For some, it's more medication or more drugs. For some of you, it's shop till you drop. Binge watching your favorite TV show, oh, that'll make me feel a lot more light. But these things sometimes appear as light, but they are false lights. Huh. In fact, I think those false lights are there to lure you away from the true light. Some of you have lived your life and you've gone from one false light to another false light. And you wonder, man, why do I keep repeating the same problems? And why do I don't sense that I have the light of life, but I still feel in darkness? You might say, Brett, it's easier said than done to drop your addictions and go to the light. But the problem is, many people, they go from one false light to the other. How do you solve that problem? Well, it's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter puts it this way. He says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Did you see what was just said there? Out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it goes on, it says, "Once you were not a people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy." Who are these people Peter's talking about? He's talking about people that figured it out. If you want to get out of the false lights, the things that claim they'll satisfy you, the things that promise they'll make you feel better, but they don't, you've got to get out of that, but you've got to get into his marvelous light. That's the main thing of this statement. This is what everyone on this planet needs. You're called out of darkness into his marvelous light. I am the bread of life, he said, number one. I am the light of the world, number two. But then in John chapter 10, Jesus brings the third I am statement. It says in John chapter 10, verse 7, "So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out to find pasture." You know, so far we've had some pretty simple little illustrations. Bread, light, and now a door. I mean, this is really simple stuff. At night, the shepherd would, you know, herd the flock into this little safety zone to keep away from the thieves and robbers, the wolves. But then the shepherd would become the door. He would sit in that gap, and he'd be the protection for the sheep. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So if you're a Christian, you want Jesus to be your door. He's your protection. He's the one that will keep you safe. But I want to tell you, Jesus, as the shepherd, he invites you to come in to the sheepfold. And it's your choice whether you're gonna come into that sheepfold, and if you're gonna let Jesus be the door. He says, "I am the door." It's like the story in Genesis chapter 7, verse 16 of the flood. Y'all remember coloring that in Sunday school. It says they went into the ark that, you know, Noah had made. They went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded them. And it says the Lord shut him in. It was the Lord who shut the door. There was a point where the option of being on the ark was no longer. And I want to tell you, tonight is the biggest opportunity. If you're not a Christian, if you've never given your heart and life over to Christ, here's God lovingly inviting you to come into the door of the sheepfold where he wants to love on you and protect you. Just because you've gone to church your whole life doesn't mean you're saved. You've seen the door. Maybe you've even admired the door. But you need to go through the door. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, number one. I am the light of the world, number two. I am the door. But then, number four, Jesus said, the fourth I am statement. He said, I am, in John chapter 10, the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. If you go into that door of Jesus Christ and you let him be your shepherd, good news. He's not an angry shepherd. Some people think God's angry at them and mad at them. No, the Bible says Jesus loves his sheep and he knows his sheep. And notice what it says at the end of this verse. He lays down his life for the sheep. I'm so thankful we have a good shepherd. Many of you know Psalm 23, David, who was a shepherd himself. David said this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Oh, how many of us have souls that need restoration? He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can you say like David, the Lord is my shepherd? Or are you like the person that says that, but he's really not your shepherd? It was H.A. Ironside from a generation ago that said this. He said, I believe in Psalm 23. It's the most beloved psalm of them all, and it is the one least believed. I think he's right. We love Psalm 23. Even as I was quoting Psalm 23, some of you are like, oh yeah, that's so good. Lord is my shepherd. But do you really believe that he is your shepherd, that he'll restore your soul? But the Bible says something a little different. Some of you may not be able to relate to that. You might relate better to Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah 53:6, he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Are you the one that says, oh, the Lord is my shepherd? Are you the little sheep that just keeps running off? All we like sheep have gone astray, and you're not alone in that, but good news, we have a good shepherd that invites you into his sheepfold. I'm so thankful for that. Finally, someone's willing to ask the tough questions. In fact, it was seen in this Time magazine article, the title of this, America Has Reached Peak Therapy. Why is our mental health getting worse? Is our mental health getting worse? Something isn't adding up, the article says. Even more people flock to therapy, and U.S. mental health is getting worse by multiple metrics. Suicide rates have risen about 30% since the year 2000. Almost a third of U.S. adults now report symptoms of either depression or anxiety, roughly three times as many in 2019, and about one in 25 adults has a serious mental illness, bipolar disorder or schizophrenia. As late as 2022, just 31% of U.S. adults considered their mental health excellent, down from 43% two decades earlier. Just 31% of people say their health mentally is excellent. One in eight adults in America now take an antidepressant. One in five recently received some kind of mental health care. The increase of almost 15 million people in treatment since the year 2002. Even in the recent past, from 2019 to 2022, use of mental health services jumped by 40%. The Time magazine's asking if our mental health system and the medications and all the stuff we're going to, if they worked so well, why are we spiraling downward in the area of mental health? I believe it's the same old ditch. All we like sheep have gone astray. And guess what? The Lord says, I am the good shepherd. I love my sheep. I'm willing to give my life for the sheep. This is the Jesus that we serve. This is the God that we know. Well, next Jesus declared in John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? This was Jesus asking Mary and Martha, do you believe in this life after death? And if you remember the story, then Jesus went and raised Lazarus from the dead, which is proof positive. Jesus has power over life and death. Today, people are desperately trying to find this life, but they find themselves losing life, and they're still looking for life. Jesus has proven he has that power of life, not just life here and now, but life eternal. The Bible says you and I as people, we were born in sin and spiritually dead. But when you accept Jesus Christ, Jesus called it being born again. You can be born again, born anew. Your spiritual side is resurrected when you become a Christian, when you accept Christ. The next one, Jesus declared in John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is a 3-for-1. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. What's that? Well, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the early church, they weren't called Christians back in those days. They were called the way. All through the book of Acts, they said, oh, are you part of the way? Why would they call it that? Because there's a way to do it and there's a way not to do it. And the early church realized Jesus is the way. So Jesus even made this declaration, I am the way to what? The way to heaven, the way to know God and to understand the Father in heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. He also said, not only that he's the way, number one, but he also declared himself to be the truth. I am the way, I am the truth. Interesting, when Jesus said these words, the people would learn more. What is the way? They would define that. In fact, Acts 4 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Buddha doesn't offer salvation from sin. Muhammad didn't offer salvation from sin. It was Jesus said, man, I want to be the way to forgiveness, the way to show mercy. I want to be the way to heaven. And Jesus made the way. He is the way. But not only that, he's the truth. Jesus is the truth. It says in the Bible, John 8:31, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. And guess what? He says the truth will set you free. Jesus wants you to be free. Some of you here in the Moda Center tonight might wonder, well, what is truth? They've been asking that for ages. But how many of you in this room have found that Jesus is absolutely the truth? Absolutely. Yes. It's true. And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. In fact, there, when Jesus was talking about life, he said this in John 10:10. He said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have that more abundantly. And not just life here and now. John 3:16, you know this one, many of you. In John 3:16, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you die, do you know that you have this everlasting life? There's only one name under heaven that gives you that. It's the name of Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. A British Bible teacher by the name of J. Sidlow Baxter, he said, fundamentally, our Lord's message, speaking of Jesus, was of himself. He did not come merely to preach the gospel. He himself is the gospel. The word gospel means good news. He did not come merely to give bread. He said, I am the bread. He did not come merely to shed light. He said, I am the light. He did not come merely to show the door. He said, I am the door. He did not come merely to be or to name a shepherd. He said, I am the shepherd. He did not come merely to point the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. I think it's true. Jesus, he's not just one who's pointing the way or helping you find your way. He is the way. This is so great about Jesus. You just got to get on board with Jesus Christ, and he takes care of the rest. Everything that you need is found in Jesus Christ. Well, we've got I am the bread of life, the light of the world, the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and life. And there's one more that Jesus claimed, and this is a powerful one. Jesus said this in John 15, 5. He said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And without me, you can do how much? Nothing. I am the vine and you are the branches. You see, this is the most important part of the vine part. The branch must draw its life from the vine. That's the way it works. A branch that is disconnected from the vine will wither away and die. And this is the sad part. So many people are trying to live their lives and they feel like they're dying and they're feeling like their life is a dry and a drought and death. But I want to tell you, when you're connected to the vine and if you abide in the vine, you find life that comes through Jesus Christ. It was Jesus who talked about this, but how do you become disconnected from the vine? Well, there's one word. It's the word the Bible calls sin. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy or deaf that he cannot hear, but it's your iniquities that have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. It's our sin that snips us off of the life of the vine. You say, well, Brett, that's a problem. I've sinned. Guess what? We can all tell you tonight, we're all sinners. We've all fallen short. We all have that same problem. We're disconnected from God because of sin. But good news. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he, that is the Lord, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is what the Lord does.
Pastor Brett Metter dutifully making the case to a receptive crowd at the PDX Crusade in Portland, Oregon in August 2025, how Jesus doesn't just point the way, he is the way to eternal life. And I hope you'll be back again as we'll hear the conclusion of this message from Pastor Brett next time on Today's Word. But first, Pastor Brett is with me. Brett, you probably preached thousands of messages in the past, and you were sharing God's Word to a packed house at the Moda Center. When did you sense that this was going to be a special evening?
Well, you know, because of the fact that the Lord stirred our hearts over a year and a half before the crusade, it really didn't take long because just everything from the provision financially to do this crusade to all the pieces coming together, very early we felt the Lord was way ahead of us. It's almost like the Lord just wanted to almost show us how we have nothing to fear. And one old sermon I heard, he said, you know, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. And and this is kind of what we really felt, you know, just let's attempt a crusade in Portland, which for us seemed like a giant leap, but that expect great things from God, that came very early because we just saw the Lord putting the pieces together, and he's just only been proven faithful.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Brett. And if you'd like to find out more about Pastor Brett Metter or share about how the Lord worked in your life or in the life of someone you know during the PDX Crusade, you can share your story at todayswordradio.com and click on the link PDX Crusade. That's todayswordradio.com and click the link PDX Crusade. Well, I hope you can be back as we conclude our highlights from last month's PDX Crusade. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.